The House will come to order. Dr. Freud's therapy ball says baby steps. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison. Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Feiler.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson. Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchins. Hutchins.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petrov.
Here.
Piperinen. Reeder, Simlick,
here.
Summers,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
60 present.
The prayer today is offered by Rabbi Harley Kartz Wagman, representing Mount Sinai Synagogue in Cheyenne.
Yesterday was the 18th day of this legislative session, and maybe I counted wrong, but let's call it 18 so this prayer makes sense. 18 in my tradition represents chai, represents life. Life in like that toast, l'chaim, and life meaning not just survival, which for some people is difficult enough, but a life of meaning, of significance and value. May we celebrate moving on to our next 18 days, to our next stage of life, of meaning, of significance, of value. Or for those who play golf, may we celebrate our second round. For the next 18 days, may we learn from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. Heschel taught that we Americans will not perish for lack of information. This was in the 1950s, just the dawn of the information age, the start of our computer world. But we might perish for lack of appreciation, from feeling so flooded with information that we lose our ability to distinguish what is significant from what does not matter. By the way, we are all dataholics. That's why yesterday I offered a legislative version of the prayer of serenity for our dataholism. May we learn to share with each other our core values, those principles that guide us to find what is significant. May we learn that most of us share the same core values, so that when we disagree, we can do so with respect, and when we agree, we can focus upon what matters most to all of us. And may those values guide us in this next round of our life. Many prayers end with Amen, which means I agree. But for this one, I ask you to respond with L'chaim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Put that order of business, the Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 30th, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Winters and Filer.
The doctor today is Dr. Doug Parks, MD from Cheyenne, Wyoming. If you're here, Dr. Parks, welcome to the House. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure today to introduce our Paige, who also happens to be my middle son, Tarver Boyce. He's a freshman at East, plays cello and football. So please welcome him.
Welcome to the House. And I remember you when you were not as tall as your mother. And Vice Chairman Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Please.
Gentlemen and ladies, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce some fine folks from Gillette, Wyoming. Our Mayor Tom Murphy, a City Councilman Forrest Rothlutner, our city manager, Carter Napier, and our city executive, Patty Davidsmeyer.
Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of reading and reference of bills, budget bill. House Bill Number 1.
House Bill Number 1, as introduced by Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
House Bill Number 1 is referred to Committee of the Whole. We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 106.
Senate File 106, as introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act... Here we go again.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to projects funded with abandoned mine land funds.
Senate File 106 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 162.
Senate File 162 is introduced by Senator Kraft.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the taking of wildlife.
Senate File 162 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36 is introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Senate File 36 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99 is introduced by Senator Christensen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water and sewer districts.
Senate File 99 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. We're now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 243, Felony Burglary, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Walters, and Watt. One no vote, Representative Miller, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 114, Liberty Preservation Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Hutchings, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder. Those who voted no, Representatives Blevins, Campbell, Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative David Zwanitzer, Chairman.
With that order of business of bills on second reading, this first bill for our consideration is House Bill 37.
House Bill 37 is introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 37 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103.
House Bill 103, as introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to firearms.
House Bill 103 has an amendment. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading, amendment number one. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters of the 62nd, yesterday I asked the question regarding using the word shall versus may for the awards, and I believe our legal system, although I'm no expert in the legal system, just recently graduating, is based on a system where we defer to the judge's discretion on the awards. So this would be a break in precedent using the word shall instead of may. And I don't think with this bill we should be going outside the normal precedent of using the word may. Let's leave it to the judge's discretion. If some community is acting nefarious, the judge would still have the ability to impose those damages as specified. And I think we should defer to the judge's discretion.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I looked over this. The first part on line, page one, line four, I didn't have a lot of concern with that one. I thought, well, we'll be okay. And then I went over to the second, page three, line 21, and the word shall. Ever since I've been here, that word shall and may has been a big word, whether you put it in, whether you don't put it in. And appreciate what the bringer of the amendment is saying, but I'm way more comfortable with shall, because if you look over on the next page, it is talking about the if, and on page four, the end of line two, it says if these things are done. So there has to be some merit to what's going on, and the plaintiff is prevailing. And if he's gone through this and shown that this in case is the fact, I think shall is the right word to have in there. So I would resist this and stick with the may, realizing that whoever's bringing this up has to prevail. So I just not comfortable with that, and I'd urge you to not go along with that.
Mr. Maturity, floor leader.
Oh, Mr. Speaker, on and in favor of the amendment. And here's the question I guess you have to ask yourself. Are all the ifs in there? Has this body thought of all the ifs? And if there's an if in there that this body's overlooked or neglected or never knew about, then you're handcuffing the judge and saying, assess those attorney fees, even though there's a situation here the legislature never anticipated. If that had, there would have been another if. And so that's what it really comes down to. Do you want to nail the judge down, handcuff him, and say, you'll award these except for the instances the legislature recognized, or do you want to give the judge some discussion to say that in his judgment, if attorney's fees aren't appropriate, he wouldn't award them? So on in favor of the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Question having been called. All in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 103, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 103 has carried. All in favor, please rise. Like I said, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 103 has carried. House Bill 103, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104.
House Bill 104 is introduced by Representative Croker, an act relating to firearms.
There is an amendment. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've moved second reading amendment number one and ask for your favorable consideration. And ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to do with this amendment is actually give the bill some teeth and some enforceability. I think that this amendment results in more real benefits to our constituents and concrete protection of their Second Amendment rights over what is currently in the bill. And the problem with that is that on Section D, page 3, Section D, that's, as it stands right now, a clearly unconstitutional provision. And we heard some discussion yesterday about nullification, and it was sort of interesting, but it was certainly a partial history. You heard mention of back in the 1850s, the Wisconsin exercised nullification about the Fugitive Slave Act, but what you didn't hear is that actually those efforts at nullification were rejected by the federal courts and by the federal Supreme Court and were ineffective. And in fact, the Fugitive Slave Act was enforced in Wisconsin. And in fact, in the history of our country, there has not been an instance where nullification was ever deemed to be appropriate or constitutional. And you can even go back to 1830, the Jackson administration, where some states in the South said, no, we were going to refuse to obey the rules of the federal government. And President Jackson said, no, you will obey. And they did. And, you know, there has never been in the history of our country a finding by the federal courts that nullification is appropriate. But that's what we have in Section D. And so it is a little bit earlier this session, you had handed out to you by the Legislative Service Office a memo that addresses nullification. And it goes through and analyzes the sort of constitutional analysis. It goes through in the 1950s when southern states in the era of desegregation said, no, we will not follow desegregation. We will not honor equality among the races. And yet we all know that, in fact, they were required to do that, and their efforts at nullification did not succeed. And there's a good analysis in that memo that we were provided about our own oath of office and our own oath of office to obey, support, and defend the Constitution of our country and our state, and the questions that arise when we vote for a nullification provision in the context of that oath of office. It's interesting, I'll just read you a quick quote from Marbury versus Madison, and this, of course, is the one of the initial cases in our jurisprudence that sets the relationship between the states and the federal government. And they said, if the legislatures of the several states may at will annul the judgments of the courts of the United States and destroy the rights acquired under those judgments, the Constitution itself becomes a solemn mockery. You will find in your basket a printout I did from a conservative national think tank talking about nullification, talking about its clear unconstitutionality, and that even though it may, you know, make us feel good, it's sort of a misguided effort to fight the overreach of the federal government. And so that brings us back to this amendment and what I'm trying to do with this amendment. And you'll see that I insert in that subsection D that what it does is it says any officer of the state of Wyoming or any of its subdivisions would be precluded from enforcing federal laws that ban and restrict automatic firearms and magazines or that require any firearm, magazine, or other accessory to be registered. And we do have authority to tell our state officials what they should do and what they should not do. And this, in my mind, actually has concrete, real benefits to our constituents in which we tell the officers and the agents and the representatives of our state that if there's overreach by the federal government, we're not going to have any part in it. But what it does not do is take that extra step, that unconstitutional step of trying to nullify a federal act. And there's certainly avenues to do that through the courts, and I would hope and expect that our state would do that if the court oversteps on our Second Amendment rights. So, you know, the amendment as it stands is, in my judgment, or the Section D as it stands, is almost a disservice to our constituents because it's us representing that, hey, we're going to protect your rights, but it does so in a way that really is meaningless. It comes through this body and it stands out there in statute but doesn't do anything. This amendment, I think, helps it do something, helps to provide those real concrete protections. So I'd ask for your support for the amendment.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the body to resist this amendment. It basically guts the whole bill. It basically says, well, we're not going to allow those laws to be enforced unless they're going to be enforced. So if we're going to say we're going to allow the federal officials to do this, then there's no point in having the bill. A couple other issues that were raised by my good friend from the home county, from my same home county. He quoted from Marbury versus Madison. Well, in that same case, it was also ruled that federal laws that are not made in pursuance of the Constitution are null and never came into existence. The Supreme Court is the decider of this, and so I believe the state has a clear authority to resist a law that they believe is unconstitutional until the Supreme Court has ruled. If this law gets challenged in court and the Supreme Court rules, then so be it. We'll obey. But until so, I believe that we do have the right to say until it's been ruled constitutional by the United States Supreme Court, we've got that authority. Also, in some more recent cases, more recent than some of the cases that have been talked about, it was ruled in Cahaw versus the United States and reaffirmed in Blackmare versus the United States and Foley Brothers, Inc. versus Filardo that, and I quote from the judgment, it is a well-established principle of law that all federal legislation applies only within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States unless a contrary intent appears. The laws of Congress in respect to those matters do not extend into the territorial limits of the states, but have force only in the District of Columbia and other places that are within the exclusive jurisdiction of the national government. So this is an issue of jurisdiction, and what we're saying is that according to rulings that have been upheld by the Supreme Court, the federal government does not have that jurisdiction in Wyoming. We have that jurisdiction in Wyoming. And so I would ask that you resist this amendment and support the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, I don't argue with the quotes from those cases, but I do argue with their implication in this case and how they apply to the states. What's clear is there has never, ever, ever been a case in this country that has found that nullification is constitutional. Never. This statute includes nullification. It is not constitutional. Our LSO has told us that. It's really a matter beyond debate. What Section D amounts to is sort of a legislative sanctioned temper tantrum. And that's fine if that's all we want to do. But if we want to do something more, if we want to provide real protection, let's do so by saying that our state officers are not going to enforce that overreach of the federal government on our Second Amendment rights. So I would ask for your eye on the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 1.
You're not the sponsor. You don't get to speak twice.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 104. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 104 fails. All in favor, please rise. Okay, I blew it. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 104 passes. House Bill 104, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105.
House Bill number 105, as presented by Representative Yeagy, an act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 105 has a forklift full of amendments. The first amendment is Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number one. And what this does over on page 2 at line 19, it adds a new subsection and what subsection reads is, any person carrying a firearm pursuant to this section shall at all times maintain the firearm on his person or within a container kept within his immediate control. And what this came about, there was some concern yesterday about people placing a firearm in a desk or in a drawer and then leaving it. It's implied that when you're using a concealed weapon permit, that when you have a permit, that you're maintaining control of that firearm at all times. The reason I put container, and if someone can come up with a better word on third reading, we certainly can do it. What I was getting at is that, perhaps a woman is carrying a purse or, a guy has a man purse, I don't know, but some type of bag you're carrying, that has to stay with you at all times, or has to stay on your person. But this idea that you would put it in a drawer and lock the drawer, or just leave it out in the open, I think would be extremely problematic. So I was just clarifying that the firearm needed to stay with you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I can go along with this one. Thank you.
Anybody else for their first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor? Question having been called, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 105 has passed the House. We are now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105 and ask for your favorable consideration. Fellow members, if you go to page 2, basically my concern revolves around elementary and secondary schools and the ability to carry in those facilities, and I think that should be left to local control. And so what my amendment does is I'll just kind of read it, basically starting on page 2 after line 14 would insert the following. B, permanent employees of a school district who hold a valid concealed carry permit issued by the state of Wyoming under 6A104A II may carry a concealed firearm in any facility of the school district subject to all of the following. The employee receives written approval from the Board of Trustees of the school district to carry a concealed firearm in any facility of the school district. Romanette 2, the employee notifies the following persons that the employee intends to carry a firearm into a school district facility: A, the superintendent; B, the principal, or other person who is responsible for the school district facility at which the employee is employed. Romanette 3, current students of the school district shall not carry firearms in any facility of the school district. C, the superintendent of the school district shall inform all law enforcement agencies within the jurisdiction over the area in which the school district facility is located of all permanent employees, providing notice pursuant to subsection B of this section. Information provided under this subsection shall only be used by local law enforcement in preparing for a response to any potential incident at a school district facility. And then the rest is, I believe, cleanup for this amendment. And I guess my reasoning is I would like to see this decision left to those local communities and local school boards in determining who in their, which employees should be allowed to carry. Thank you.
Representative Paxton.
Mr. Speaker, members of the 62nd, in full disclosure, let me tell you who I am. I am a member of the organization that protects Second Amendment rights. I'm a former school principal. I'm a former military policeman. I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. I love guns, but I love kids more. I believe without this amendment, we are putting kids in harm's way, the same population that we are attempting to protect here. We may be inadvertently causing undue problem, especially in the implementation of the bill without the amendment. Very concerned about the unintended consequences, the dire unintended consequences. I'm not sure that that this bill even goes far enough, this amendment even goes far enough, but I do think that it will put some common sense into the to the process so that we can have a dialogue among school officials, school boards, and parents, most importantly parents, on exactly how we want this to look on and for the amendment.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak on and for the amendment. As a school board member for 22 years, I have felt that local control was always a part of my elected position as a school board member. This amendment provides me that comfort that I still empower those local officials to make that decision where it matters, because they're there on the ground, and we say in this body, the government closest to people governs the best in that line of thinking. And so they're closest to the people, they're closest to the parents, they're closest to the students, but they're also closest to the employees. I believe this particular amendment provides them some flexibility, level of comfort, and some breathing room in determining who carries in the school district and around its facilities. On and for the amendment.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I like about this process is I like the bill. I like the concept. I like that we're having this discussion about where you can and can't go with a firearm. So I appreciate that. And what I really appreciate is that people really listened yesterday and came up with some good ideas and different ideas. And I appreciate the bringers of the amendment for working so hard to find some solutions that would make this bill palatable throughout the entire process. The issue I have with this particular amendment is on page 1, lines 14 through 16, it requires the written approval of the Board of Trustees. My concern is that the Board of Trustees will just simply decide not to issue those approvals, and so essentially you have something on the books that really has no effect. What I really prefer is I actually appreciate the amendment coming next. I think that might actually do almost the same thing this one's doing, but I think the only distinction I'm seeing between the two, the other one takes out that written approval from the school board. And so I would urge you to vote this one down, but take a serious look at the next one. And I just wanted to clarify something from yesterday. I think I said it or someone else said it, that you have to be 21 to get one of these permits. And I'd forgotten that an 18, 19, or 20-year-old could get one. The sheriff has discretion to give to 18, 19, 20-year-olds. So what both of these amendments do is it makes it just the permanent employees of the school district. And if one of these fails, maybe on third reading someone should bring one that says only those who have permits that are over the age of 21. But I just wanted to clarify that because I think that was a misstatement yesterday. Anyway, so I'd urge you to vote no on the amendment, but take a serious look at the next one.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm worried that maybe we're adding a little too much red tape, and I appreciate the bringers of the amendment trying to work with the bill. We have been through long discussions in this body about the fact that we believe that you have a constitutional right to carry concealed without a permit. And so if we could eliminate the language that talks about a valid concealed carry permit, I'd be more inclined to support the amendment, because then it would allow districts the discretion to decide who they want to carry in their buildings. Also, I would also like to see it expanded beyond permanent employees to allow the districts the ability to authorize other people that may not be permanent employees. And thirdly, I have a little concern about 3i, talking about current students. And it's not really, I don't want to allow students to carry, probably. I don't think I'd be willing to go that far. But I do know that at least in some of our schools in my district, we do still do trap shooting. And so students keep their guns in their vehicles. They'll go out during their PE class and go get their shotguns. And we do have students walking through the building with those guns. And I would hate to preempt that activity inadvertently. So those are my concerns.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm against this amendment and any similar amendments, and I speak as a mother and as a former teacher and as a permit holder. I think two things. One, we had another piece of legislation before us yesterday in which we discussed the advantage to not having a patchwork of laws across the state so that people going here and there wouldn't know which law they were following in this particular location. So I think here we are bringing in a situation where a person might be acceptable in one district and the other district has passed something different, and now we've added confusion. The other thing is that until we put a metal detector at every door of the school and lock all the others, bills like this are not keeping guns out of the school. They are only keeping guns out of the school in the hands of law-abiding people. So our attempt, which is worthy, to say by putting in all these restrictions, we have thereby made our students more safe, I think is unfortunately a dream. So I recommend a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, fellow representatives, I stand before you as me. I think that this amendment comes down to two basic principles. One is our right to keep and bear arms. We have that right, and we should have that right. The next one is the right of local government to make choices that fit the needs of their local community. We are constantly removing local control. Every time we pass another bill that says the state preempts, the state does this, the state will collect the money and redistribute it, the state will do anything, that means there is nobody locally for a local citizen to talk to. They have to talk to somebody on the state level. So I hope you'll support this amendment.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to push back also from the good remarks from that our colleague from up there by that vacation spot and bring the point of local control back here again. The speaker before me eloquently stated that, and I think that should be one of our major concerns, that no matter how much we know in this body sitting right here, those people who are elected at the local level in the school board know their schools better and can make better decisions than us. I hate to break that to you, but I would defer this decision to the locals.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, we just yesterday had a discussion about the importance of having the state determine consistency in our gun laws throughout the entire state. And now we've got an amendment that goes against the discussion that we just had. I mean, I don't understand the need to say, well, our citizens have this right, but we're going to give some local entities the right to take that right away from them. There has never been a mass shooting that was done by somebody who had a concealed carry permit. I mean, that's the check and the balance right there. Those permits are there for a reason. That's the reason why we require them in this piece of legislation. That's the check and the balance. That's the safety right there. Let's not take away citizens' rights just because somebody is nervous or doesn't think that the citizen has that right.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The way I look at this is really not local control. The local control is allowing school districts to decide for themselves what laws they would like to have in their areas. And as I look at this bill is not local control. This is a mandate to the school that they will do so. So I suggest we put it in the hands of the local communities, let them decide for themselves. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Little disappointed that we're having this discussion, and I still am a little bit unclear about the age of carrying. In one of our statutes, it clearly says 21 years of age. So we can clarify that. But disappointed that, well, here's what John Adams, the way he said it, those who trade liberty for security have neither. And I think that's what we're talking about right here. We just want to be so secure, and so we're willing to give and willing to give. I think being able to defend a person is our right. And I do remind you that last year we had this very same discussion, and a lot of you folks that are standing up saying, if we just had concealed carry, then we could have concealed carry with a permit. So now we're coming back and saying, okay, we'll have concealed carry in our schools with people who have had all this requirements to be checked. And now you're saying, well, now it's not good enough. Let's go one step farther. And I go back to John Adams. Are we trading something? Who are we really representing here? The Second Amendment says this is the way it is. And now we're saying, well, this is the way it is in this case and in this case. I go to pick up my grandkids at school, and I just happen to have my gun on, and now I take my gun off to go in school, and I'm one of the guys that you said last session, if you'll have all these conditions made, then you're permissible. And now we're coming back this year and saying, well, we've had all those conditions, but I just remind you that I think an armed society is a safe society. If something happened right here, right now, by the time the guys came up from downstairs, it would be too late. By the time the police arrived at some of the horrific things we've heard and seen, all they're doing is cleaning up. I just think we're going in the wrong direction here. I think we ought to stick up for the Second Amendment rights, and we did put the checking in there. So I would urge you to resist this amendment and the next one that the good coach is going to bring. Thank you.
Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask every one of you, just take a second and look around. Look at everybody sitting on this floor, please. Just look around. All right. There's one person on this floor that has went through all the process, have notified the authorities, have a concealed weapons permit, and they're among us right now. Point them out to me, please. Didn't think so. There's also one in here who, by state law, is carrying a concealed weapon. And it's perfectly legal. Point that person out to me, would you please? You don't know, do you? Well, here you go. No, it wasn't me. I just made that up. But you can't point them out, can you? I'm against this amendment, and I'm for this bill.
Anyone else for your first time? Anyone else who hasn't spoken on this amendment? For your second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I think good discussion was provided, and I cannot further that discussion, so I'll just let it go to a vote. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105 fails. We are now on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 105. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 105 and ask for your favorable consideration. Appreciate the good chairman of judiciary pointing out that, in fact, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds can carry, and it's in paragraph J.
So if you keep reading through that statute, through the laundry list, it's in paragraph J. Now, I think the good former teacher and the good current teacher probably have the same goal in mind. I think we're, and as you read the title of this bill about student safety, that's what we're trying to get at. But the devil's in the details and how you do this. So do you really want potentially 18, 19-year-old seniors or juniors in high school carrying concealed weapons? I think not. That's my experience tells me not. But I do want employees to be able to do that. And many of my coworkers and friends have these permits, would probably carry. But I would also like the chief of police in my school district who does active shooter drills in our school when schools shut down at nighttime. They know every teacher, every room. They've got a plan. They know what to do. And I would like them to know that if I'm a permit carrier, they know where my room's at. And I want them to know that, and because I'm on their side. And so that's what this bill is trying to do. Now, and I just got to say this, and this is my 11th session, and I've never seen the kind of bullying type stuff from some folks on the outside. And I'll just say that we got to stand up to that. And here's the deal. Some of my very best friends, and I'll be honest, I probably have more guns than many of you on this floor. Trust me. I'm just getting over my hearing loss from last Sunday when my boys and I went out and shot every weapon probably many of you don't have. So it's not about that. I've been a member of that national group many times, a AA rating, I think supported in most of my elections. But some of my best friends text me, what's going on? I'm getting this email alert. And the quote that went out, it says, Harshman believes that law-abiding concealed carry permit holders cannot be trusted to defend the lives of their own children. Now, I never even spoke on this bill yesterday. Where'd that quote come from? I've never said that. And so enough of this. It's not right. So Harshman does believe concealed carry permit holders should defend the lives of their children. Absolutely. So I stand up against that. Now, I'm trying to find a solution to this issue. I want my fellow coworkers to do this. I don't think the school board should be able to give the yay or nay on this. I simply want them to notify their principal so the principal kind of has this plan, and it's all part of student safety. That's where I'm trying to go with this thing. And I really appreciate the bringer of the bill because of the events in our nation, we have this. I mean, on one end, we do nothing, just keep going like we're going. And I don't know what the other extreme is that everybody can carry openly, I guess, in your schools. Maybe that's the far extreme. And somewhere in the middle, reality lies. Somewhere we got to find a way to make this work. Should parents who are carrying open even be able to drop their children off at the front door? I think so, yeah. That shouldn't be a crime, absolutely. I think we probably all agree on that. But should everybody be able to just walk into our K-12 schools in this state at any time carrying a concealed weapon? I don't think so. That's, and we'll vote that up, and we'll see if we have 31 one way or the other. So that's where it's at. But I do want to stand up against some of this stuff. I wanted to talk about student activities that the good chairman of education brought up. I don't see this as any way impacting that. And the school that I have the privilege to teach at the last 22 years has the second oldest junior ROTC unit in the United States. We're shooting guns every day at my school. Okay? Our physical education program has a rec sports program. Part of it's trap shooting. The kids love it. So, boy, do we want to take that away? Absolutely not. We're trying to encourage all the hunting and fishing we can and our great tradition with firearms. So, boy, I just kind of want to set the record straight. And if you think this is maybe a solution somewhere in the middle where this lies, vote for it. If not, but I'm not going to go for that deal where I don't, you know, this stuff going around on email. So standing up for that. So I appreciate your aye vote on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to thank the good coach for bringing this amendment, but I do think there's some issues with it, and I would encourage the body to vote against it. and I would encourage him to refine it a little bit and bring it back on third reading if we want to have this discussion, because I think this amendment goes a lot further than what his description was, because it affects parents and other people as well. If we want to have the discussion about students, bring an amendment that says that the school principal, school board, whatever authority you think is appropriate, may set the rules as to the students. And I think if they set the rules, then they can set the rules to no, or they can set the rules to yes if it's the cases like were mentioned earlier with trap shooting and things. But I think if you tied it to specifically to students, that's a lot better direction, because the way this is written right now, it would not allow a parent to drop their student off who's carrying a concealed weapon because they're actually on the school grounds. And I think as a parent, I have the right to defend my children. Also, the issue of checking in with the school principal so he's aware, I think that is a very prudent measure, as long as he doesn't have the authority to say no, as long as it's just an informational thing. If we limited the amendment to those couple of issues, I think we could have a good discussion on it. But I think this amendment goes a little bit further than that, so I would urge the body to defeat it.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And good comments by my colleague just spoke, and good comments by our teacher that really cares about kids from middle of the state, had numerous football state championships. I admire him a bunch. Some of the concerns that we're having here, I continually stick up for our right to carry. And, you know, we've talked about that. And we're putting conditions on and more conditions. And little by little, are we gonna just condition ourselves out? So we are back, you know, where we don't have those rights. I really appreciate the body thinking last year being able to pass concealed carry without a permit. That was a big deal. And as we passed that, I had a lot of you say, wow, we are opening ourselves up to a lot of harm. There will be more conflicts. There will be more gun problems. Guess what, folks? As I said yesterday, it hasn't happened. And in the states that have this concealed carry without a permit, it has not happened. I'd also like to say that there are states that have this same bill, carrying concealed anyone in the school. And all the problems that I hear are going to happen have not happened. So I think, again, as we trade our liberty for security, we have neither. And being able to take care, protect, that's what we all want. And I think the good coach and I are on the same wavelength there. But I think with some refinement on a third reading, there might be some area that we could compromise on, but I would urge you to resist this one, and let's see if a good bringer can come back and just make it a little cleaner as he's looking for. Thank you.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to point out the one issue was raised about athletic events. Remember back in the bill, not in the amendment, back in the bill's already allowing for anyone who has a permit to carry a firearm to a school athletic event. So that would be covered over there. This is actually while school's meeting, you know, during that time. One of the hardest lessons I always have down here is I always show up with what I want, and over time I have to give up little by little something, and sometimes I don't know when to blink and I don't know when to hold my ground. And here's my concern, and I'll just throw it out there, is I think this can pass this body. I get worried about the rest of the procedure, and so for that reason I think that the good coach has brought a good compromise. I think we'd all prefer the other, but sometimes you have to find
sort of some middle ground. And I think this amendment's actually going a long ways. I don't think we're compromising too much here. So what's he proposing? He's saying, hey, we're going to narrow this down to the employees, just the employees, and we're going to say, hey, we're going to notify, so it's nobody's having to give permission, we're just going to notify. And I thought he had a good explanation as to why you want, in particularly law enforcement, to know, and you want the principal to know, and you just want others to know that you're going to be carrying in the school, and that helps them for planning purposes and whatnot. And then I think we can all agree, I think the student one, you know, that I don't think we want the students carrying firearms. So that's a good provision. So I think the good coach has crafted a good compromise amendment that I think will help this bill actually make it completely through the process.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the good coach and the good principal for bringing this amendment. Reason I like it is if law enforcement has to come storm a school building, it would be nice to know who they needed to shoot and who they wanted to watch out for, who's on their side and who's not on their side. So, on for this amendment. Thank you.
Anybody else for their first time? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Most important in this amendment is that you don't have students carrying weapons. And I've been a student, and I know what can happen in that kind of an environment where a couple of them young men usually are the ones that get a little testosterone going, and what happens if they've got weapons? It's bad enough to have a schoolyard fight, a schoolyard kicking match, those kinds of things, but guns are so permanent. So I'd urge support of this amendment.
Representative Pieperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having been an educator for 25 years in the elementary level, and I'd like to compliment the coach for his well-thought-out amendment, and I stand for the bill and for the amendment. I just received two emails from my district from people involved in my school district. One would be in favor of this type of amendment, and the other said for me to follow my gut. And my gut is that I think this is a good amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A comment was made that you'd like the law enforcement to know who in that school has a gun. Now, I was a DARE officer. I knew all the teachers. But if you would have asked any one of the deputies that I worked with, they probably know what their child's teacher looks like because of parent-teacher conferences. But they have no idea what the other teachers look like. They have no idea whether they're good or bad. They will go in there, and anybody that's an adult is going to be treated as bad. They're going to look at you. They're going to tell you to get down on the floor. If you make a threatening action of any way, they're going to take you out that fast. They're not going to know who's good and who's bad. So they're going to treat every adult as bad. So knowing who has the gun in the school or not, again, you don't know. So I'm against this amendment, and I'd ask you to vote against it.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate all the comments. Appreciate the comments just most recently by our good representative from where the water is sweet. And as we all know, he's given a lot to public safety. And so I just, you know, I think it's a good compromise. I think, again, we're trying to get to the same thing. I think there's other bills coming, too. We'll probably aid in what really the title this is talking about, and student self-defense and student safety. And so I'm going to support the bill and support the amendment. And I guess just one last thing on this issue. I was born here in 1963 in Casper. So anyway, I've been here a long time, my whole life. I get this email that's from this group that says, you should move to, and that's that state on the coast with the sea, the big coastal state. And I thought, how ironic, because that's where we seem to have so many folks moving here wanting to tell us how to do things. And it's getting old. And particularly when I got guys telling me to move there, I'm sorry. I only go to Disneyland to visit. And so, again, I'm standing up to some of this bullying, and I hope folks who are out there, I told my friends to all listen in, and I'd stand up to that. So I think this is a good compromise. If we need some more work on it, I'm sure we can do it on third reading. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading or second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment, or second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 105 carries. We're now on second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 105, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 105. Brothers and sisters, the 62nd, I will read the section number to you in a second here, but I just want to make sure everybody has the corrected copy. So make sure you have the corrected copy. Thank you. And essentially what Romanet 5 is part of the 11 exemptions that this legislature has created with concealed carry. And Romanet 5 states any meeting of the legislature or committee thereof, and I don't think we should have the hypocrisy of preventing concealed carry weapons to meetings of the legislature, so I would expand this bill not only for schools but also to the legislature. And on a little background, I worked with LSO to craft it so we could carry within the Capitol on the second and third floors. However, they weren't sure if it was going to be within the scope. And since the governor's rules, which have been adopted by management council, it would still be still be prohibited from carrying concealed carry into this building. However, the other legislative meetings we have would now be within limits of carrying a concealed carry permit, and it would remove the hypocrisy of the legislature thinking that people shouldn't be able to carry to our meetings. I would stand for any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Voting on second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 105 passes. We're now on second. House Bill 105 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 132. There's also a forklift load of amendments on that one.
House Bill 132 is introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to the Chiropractic Licensing Act.
We're on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 132, Representative Throne. Madam Minority Floor Leader. Whose day is it to watch her? House will stand in recess until the sound of the gavel. House will come to order.
My apologies, Mr. Speaker.
We're on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 132. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 132 and ask for your favorable consideration. Amendment number 1.
There we go.
Second reading amendment number 1. Essentially, we... in my opinion, over-deleted some language related to temporary licensure on page 6 of the bill. We deleted all the standards related to temporary licensure, and my concern is if there are no standards in the statute, it will be very difficult to enforce. So the purpose of the amendment simply deletes that portion of the standing committee amendment, and replaces it with the original language.
Anyone else for your first time? Representative Greer?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Just to address this particular issue, it was my understanding that this was brought in terms of, hopefully I'm here on this. This dealt with athletic teams coming into the state on a temporary basis to be able to bring in their chiropractic physician and to make sure that they weren't violating the rules and the standards here. And that was the purpose for it. I had worked with this group a little bit early on, and they had a much broader language. And when they came back with this legislation or proposed legislation, they squeezed us down to a 7-working-day component to really just meet that requirement so it couldn't be gamed. And so for the body, I give that as an explanation, and maybe the good chair of labor has something further to add.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If there are no more questions, I just urge you to vote aye.
All those in favor of second reading amendment, we are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 132. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 132, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment carries. We are now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 132. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2. And what this does, what the amendment does, everywhere it said physician, it took out the word physician. There are some things, some good things in this bill that, you know, let's get those done. The issue in regards to using the use of the word physician, I just think is inappropriate. These are not physicians. These are chiropractors. A physician is a medical doctor, someone who's been to medical school. And I think it confuses the public when we use terms that do not match with what they do. And I'd urge you to vote aye on the amendment.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The court in 1999, the Wyoming Supreme Court, governing board of what we typically know as physicians, tried to sue a doctor of chiropractic for using the word chiropractic physician on a notepad. And I could read you the whole court case, or I could just sum it up to say that the court upheld his right to use the word chiropractic physician. It is becoming a generally accepted practice throughout the country. There are, I have a hard time coming up with what the acronym means without saying the acronym. There are teams who examine people for suitability for licensure to drive large oversized vehicles. You got it? And they use the term chiropractic physician as one of a team of 5 or 5 eligible people to be able to conduct this. And this is a national and nationwide examiner board. It's becoming more and more accepted. The courts have upheld it in 7 states, Wyoming being one of them, that they have the ability to use the word chiropractic physician. I don't think it could get any clearer than that. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm on and in favor of this amendment. As I stated yesterday, the difference between a doctor and a chiropractor, a doctor goes to school 4 years undergraduate, 4 years medical school, 10,000 hours clinical patient care, 3 to 7 years residency. A chiropractor, 90 hours undergraduate, 4,200 instructional hours, 4 years chiropractic school with no residency. To me, this is like that somebody coming in here that's a paralegal and asking us to change the law to turn them into lawyers. We're talking about a difference in education here. that allows somebody to become a doctor or a physician versus become a chiropractor. So I'm on and in favor of this amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harvey, are you just standing there? Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, I would point out, if you go back to the original bill, page 11, line 3, the word chiropractic, doctor of chiropractic is already in the Practice Act. So doctor of chiropractic, chiropractic physician, DC, or the equivalent is what we're asking for. There again, the court has already upheld this. I don't see a reason why it's a topic of discussion. The court has said they can call themselves chiropractic physicians.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote aye on the amendment. It is true over in the section on title of practitioners, they currently, without this bill, can call themselves a doctor. I think there's a big distinction between calling a doctor and a physician. I have a doctorate degree. I don't ask people to call me Dr. Gingrey, but you can if you'd like to. I think the issue on the courts, I think I haven't seen that case, but what I'm guessing is what it interprets is says Wyoming has not restricted you from doing it, so where the legislature has been silent, normally then the courts say, well, then you guess you can do it. It's not that the courts have ruled that they met, that they can do it. They said, well, legislature hadn't said anything, so you can do it. The question that the good chairman of labor has brought up, are we going to write the laws? Is the legislature going to write the laws, or are we going to let the courts write the laws for us? Because if we want the courts to write the laws, we can all go home. Because that's not how we should be doing good legislation. And I actually think, and it raises a good point. Should we maybe on third reading bring something that says chiropractors cannot use the word physician? I wasn't going that far. I was just saying, don't put it in the bill. Don't put in the word physician. I think you're going too far. I think you're the public is not going to understand who they're going to. They think they're going to a physician. They're not. They're going to a chiropractor.
Thank you, Chairman. Dr. Gingrey. We're now voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 132. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment carries. All in favor, please rise. Told you so, but it's harder when you vote with less enthusiasm. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 132 has carried. House Bill 132 having been read 2 separate times, question is shall the bill be read a third time? Without objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 212. There is an amendment, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move the adoption of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 212 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really, it's a little bit of wordsmithing just to try to tighten up the language a little bit. The very first change is really just grammatical more than anything else, but the second change is more substantive on pages 7 and 8. And really what I there seemed to be a missing step here. We had the determination that the development was likely to occur and that the mitigation was convenient or necessary, but we didn't have the middle step, which is the determination that the development actually would create impacts. And so I added that extra step in there just to make clear that the monies utilized through this impact assistance go to communities that really need it, that are necessary, and that are for impacts that actually occur. And so it just tightens up the bill a little bit, and I'd ask for your eye.
Just as a procedural thing, Mr. Majority Whip, I'll have the bill read in, and then would you move your amendment again?
All right, House Bill 212, as introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to cities, towns, and counties.
Okay. Representative, Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, I would move House Bill 212. I'm sorry. Now I'm all screwed up. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 212 and see my argument supra.
I apologize for getting ahead of myself here. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider that a friendly amendment and would urge your aye vote.
Any further discussion on the amendment? We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 212. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 212 has passed the House. House Bill 212 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 216.
House Bill 216 is introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
There is an amendment, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 216 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is an amendment that we drafted after the debate yesterday. We changed the word presides to is presiding. So I think it addresses the concern that was raised about a room that has multiple uses. Sometimes it's used for court and sometimes it's used for other things. And this would make it clear that this penalty applies as to that room only when a judge is presiding in a court of law. So when the room is in use for other purposes, the penalty wouldn't apply, and I'd ask your favorable consideration.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 216? Hearing none, and since you're ready to vote, all in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 216, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 216 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number two to House Bill 216. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Squeaker. I just want to move second reading amendment. Number two, the House Bill 216, and ask for your favorable consideration. I just had a concern when we voted on this issue yesterday that we maybe didn't quite get the right vote out. I'll just go quickly with this, and I'm sure the good majority floor leader's got some comments. What this does is it talks in terms of if someone is carrying in a courtroom, it makes this a misdemeanor, as the bill was suggested yesterday. And what then I have added to this is that if they are caught a second time, it is a felony at that point in time. And what I just like to point out is become very clear here the last couple of days is it isn't crystal clear where you can and cannot have a firearm in the state of Wyoming. There are folks that do make innocent mistakes. And I think you ought to be allowed to make a mistake once before it becomes a felony and all of your rights are affected. Also, I think if we look at our statutes regarding aggravated assault, if that weapon was pulled out, drawn, and someone threatened with it, that is a felony. So I just ask for your consideration on this to help give just a little leniency to the guy or the gal who may have made an honest mistake, and in light of some of the confusion in our laws, that we don't make them a felon first rattle out of the chute. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Squeaker, I would ask you to resist this amendment. I just go back to the statute, which I'm looking here has not been even visited by this legislature since 1992. And it prescribes this exact felony penalty for taking a deadly weapon into a jail, a state penal institution, Wyoming boys' school, girls' school, correctional facility operated by a private entity, or the state hospital. Now, the courtroom is at least as emotionally charged as those institutions are. And in the courtroom is where decisions are going to be made about people being confined in those institutions. And so if it's good enough for those institutions, I think it's good enough for the courtroom. And I do want to make it crystal clear to people, I don't want to leave any doubt, just don't take a weapon in the courtroom. It's going to ruin your life. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216 has carried. Division. All in favor, please rise. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, looks like you should trust the squeaker. Like I said, you should trust the squeaker. Whoever left me Dr. Freud's therapy ball, thank you very much. I've been looking at it through the morning. When Representative Greer asked for Mr. Squeaker, I looked for a response, and it said, "Are you a bedwetter?" So, House Bill 216, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business. Representative Yagi, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not often we have people come over all the way from the oasis of the Southwest, Bridger Valley. We have here with us our mayor and a couple town council members. We have Scott Dillinger, our mayor, and Roger and Gina Timms and Scott Sidwell coming down to see how we do business.
Welcome to the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of third reading and final passage, consent list.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Oh, certainly.
Mr. Speaker, maybe I wouldn't have done that division if a few more squeakers had squeaked. Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 18, 55, 123, 131, 147, 155, 156, 161, 163, 164, 179, 182, 203, and 208.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll. Oh, you got to read them first.
House Bill 18, as introduced by corporations, an act relating to public utilities, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 55, introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to environmental quality, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Oops, I got
House Bill 123, as introduced by Representative Petroff, an act relating to restaurant liquor licenses, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 131, introduced by Representative Yeagy, an act relating to game fish, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 147 is represented by, or introduced by Representative Kasparyk, an act relating to motor vehicle registration, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Semlick, an act relating to penalties for violating fire bans, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 156, introduced by Representative Hunt, an act relating to inspection of brands, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 161 is introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to highways, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Freeman, an act relating to teachers, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 164, introduced by Representative Freeman, an act relating to school finance, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 179 is introduced by Representative Halverson, an act relating to commercial motor vehicles, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 182, introduced by Representative Croker, an act relating to highways, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 203, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to the administration of government and health insurance exchanges, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 208 is introduced by Representative Larson, an act relating to education, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow. Berger. Blake. Blevins. Flickery. Brown. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Gay.
Excused.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hutchings,
aye.
Yeagy,
aye.
Kasparyk,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Throne, Wallace, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 18, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58-aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 55, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 123, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 131, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 147, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 155, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 156, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59-aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 161, are there any changes? Croker, Aye to no. Walters? Aye to no. Greer? Aye to no. Simlick? Aye to no. Winters? Aye to no. Hutchings? Aye to no. Gingery? Aye to no. Stubson? Conflict? Stubson? Conflict. Miller? Aye to no. McKim? Aye to no. Watt? Aye to no. Hunt? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 163, are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no. Walters? Aye to no. Croker? Aye to no. Laux? Aye to no. Gingery? Aye to no. Burkhart? Aye to no. Reeder? Aye to no. Halverson? Aye to no. McKim? Aye to no. Greer? Aye to no. Watt? Aye to no. Kasparik? Aye to no. Madden? Aye to no. Mr. Speaker? Aye to no. Simlick? Aye to no. Wilson? Aye to no. Nicholas? Aye to no. Winters? Aye to no. Harshman? Aye to no. Hutchings? Aye to no. Moniz? Aye to no. Harvey? Aye to no. Davison? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 aye, 23 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 164, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 179, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 182, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 203, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 208, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 1855, 123, 131, 147, 155, 156, 161, 163, 164, 179, 182, 203, and 208 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill 130 is introduced by Representative Watt. An act relating to public school elective courses be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 130, and I'll withdraw it at the appropriate time. I just wanted to raise a few concerns about this bill that were brought to me by a professor of Old and New Testament at some of our institutions of higher learning. I think it's important to note that he supports the teaching of the Bible as an academic course and provided me with a lot of material on standards that are in place to ensure proper academic treatment of the Bible, including guidelines that state things such as the teaching of the Bible is indispensable to understanding Western culture. The concern he had about this bill and the concern I share is that we're perhaps a little ahead of ourselves, and I just wanted to bring his concerns to the floor before final passage. And his concerns are that you have to be academically qualified to teach the Bible in a secondary school setting. And as a parent, I have some concern because it's my job to impart my faith tradition to my children, and we need to make sure that we have standards in place to ensure the academic teaching of the Bible rather than the religious teaching of the Bible, which should be reserved for families. So that is the concern I have with the bill, and again, I just wanted to share that before we voted on it a final time.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on in support of the bill and against the amendment, we have a professional teaching standards board. We have local districts with local control that have the ability to approve the courses that they want to teach. I'm not concerned about that at all. The same argument that was just given could be said for any course of work. And we have these systems in place. I'm not concerned about it at all. I would urge you to vote aye on the bill.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In contradiction to my well-learned colleague from just up north, we do require teachers to be proficient and certified in the subject matters that they teach. So I don't think that this is much of a requirement that should be recognized and considered here. And what we're doing is we're slipping into this and not specifying that requirement needs to be with this. I would again remind the body that it is our job to make sure that things are done consistently when we apply oversight to the local school districts.
Representative Watt.
Again, I want to remind you folks, this isn't a debate on religion. Okay, it's using the Bible as a textbook. There's not going to be any religious teaching. The bill doesn't allow that. So I'd ask you to vote no on the amendment and yes on the bill.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment and against the bill, this bill barely passed out of committee. And the reason being, I think in good part, is that while the sentiment was there that the studying the Bible is legitimate and something that could and should happen in our classrooms, it already is. And it's being done under the current mechanisms that we have, and it's being done well. Several, if not most, and many of our school districts teach the Bible as literature. Other teach comparative religion. That's all possible. Title 21 has no other kind of specificity for any class. And so we're adding to our education statutes in a way that we've never done before and that we don't need to. I like clean statutes. This makes it messy. So on and against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time. Second time prior to the amendment sponsor. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Again, I would urge that we take some time with introducing a new course of study into our Title 21 statutes, and I would urge you to vote no on the bill, and I withdraw the amendment.
House Bill 130, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay, excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green. 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 Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff. Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Cheaters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 130, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill number 130 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 201.
House Bill 201 is introduced by Representative Blevins, an act relating to non-testamentary transfers of real property be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 201 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay, excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson, Halverson,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings, Hutchings, Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
Hutchings, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Yagi, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 201, having been read, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 201 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 223, Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move.
Let's read the bill.
House Bill 223, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to public records, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Now, Chairman Gingery, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one, and we'll remove it at the appropriate time. I just wanted to have this discussion just real briefly.
we talked about this a little bit on Committee of the Whole, the idea that we're going to carve out a special exception for one position, the president of the university, where all of our other government employees that we hire in your city government, your county government, and your state, we do that all openly. Those applications are all out in the open, and we know who they are. That's my first concern, is that we're carving out an exception for one person. The other thing is just a policy reason. I think it's a healthier system when everything's out in the open. The problem is that many times when you see the names of the individuals, perhaps you know that person or you know something of that person, and that gives you the opportunity to contact people on the committee. I think even one of our legislators is on the committee, and say, hey, I know this person, good guy or good person, and I think you should look closer. Or, hey, did you know this issue with this person? And so that we have an open and honest process. This idea that it's all going to be secret, and at the last minute they all tell us, ta-da, there's your new president. And we had no idea that that was the person that was coming our way. And there may be issues with that person that if they had left it open, those things would have been discovered. It just comes down to openness and transparency in public in government, and I would urge you to vote against the bill.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. I just want to reflect back because we clearly want to understand that just because it's a confidential process doesn't mean it's not there's not public involved in the process. And you certainly have seen that in our most recent presidential search. I imagine a number of you, as I did, attended meetings across the state where the trustees traveled to solicit input on what the next president should be, what the direction of the university should be, an open public process of input to see where we want to go. In addition, you look at the system that was set up in reviewing the candidates, and I was fortunate enough to sit on the first phase of that process, and there were two committees set up before the names reached the trustees. And those committees included professors, they included students, they included representatives from the ag industry, from business, from the community colleges, public members from across the state in two different reviews of candidates before the trustees receive those. And I can tell you from my own involvement in that first review committee, in the first stage, we all committed to confidentiality as part of the process, but I can tell you that it would have been a materially different process had it not been confidential. We know for a fact that we would have had a significantly smaller pool, and that the higher tier candidates that we saw, that we looked at, that we forwarded through the process would not have been involved in the process had their names been out in the public before being selected. And so whatever you hear out there, it is indisputable that this would have been a very different process, and the candidates that ultimately ended up before the trustees to choose would have been more limited and would have been of a lower quality. And so if we have a system that's set up in which the trustees are given the decision, I mean, this bill, if you take away this bill and you go back to the court system, it doesn't change any of that. The responsibility is still solely the trustees. They make the decision, and yet we handcuff them in their ability to review candidates, to solicit candidates, and we set them up with a process in which they're not going to be able to get the highest level candidates as they have been through this process. So if we are going to entrust the trustees with this process, if they are the ones to hire, we should allow them the freedom and flexibility to set up the process to get a first-class president for a first-class university.
Representative Lockhart, or Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and in support of the bill, the standing committee that heard the rationale for public records institutions of higher education, it was clear, complete, and concise that it's a better system if you can do it with confidentiality. So I'd urge that you resist the amendment and support the bill. It's in the best interest of our state. And here again, We had testimony across the board and quotes from others. For instance, the sitting president of the University of Wyoming said it would be a better process to get better quality people if it were held confidential, as it was in the directive. When people were asked to apply, it would be held confidential.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. First time prior to this. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, I think I've voted on both sides of this issue in the first two, one once and once the other. And as I was thinking about whether this should be open completely or maybe closed somewhat so you can get better quality candidates, it occurred to me that, yes, you probably would have more good quality candidates apply if nobody has to know that they did. But the discussion we had a short time ago about a bill concerning guns and where they might be convinced me that maybe openness is the better way to go, because I think a lot more people will feel good about the decision reached by this body because we had an open discussion about what it might do to local control. So I intend to vote against the bill, or for the bill, excuse me, or against the bill, excuse me.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, that openness has already had an adverse effect on this search. They winnowed it down to 8 people, 2 sitting presidents of universities, 5 sitting provosts, and 1 non-academic. That was supposed to be vetted, and out of that list of 8, it was supposed to go to 5, and that 5 is supposed to be submitted. We now do not have 5. We have 2 sitting presidents and 2 sitting provosts who have withdrawn. So it has already materially damaged the pool of candidates that we have for this job. It's a sensitive situation. It's not your regular thing that we have in Wyoming. It's the largest enterprise we have in Wyoming. As I said the other day, $1 billion in hard assets, 6,700 employees, something north of $500 million a year in budget, 14,000 students to manage, and you've got people who are in similar positions where they are. And they want to make discrete application, but they don't want to totally wreck their situation back home if they're not selected. And that's where the rub comes. So I think there's a compelling argument for this and for the president of junior colleges. It's not just for one position. Junior colleges are included for the same reason. And I think there's a compelling argument for this that distinguishes it from other job applications and other positions, and I would urge you to defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, Mr. Speaker and I were a couple of the people who took advantage of the very public process that went in the first stage of this, where they came, my understanding is, to nearly every community, certainly every large community in the state. They invited folks to come and talk about what we wanted as a state and the president of the university, and we were able to articulate a lot of the concerns that we see and the opportunities that we see for the person who would ultimately wind up with this position. So in fact, it has provided a great deal of opportunity for public input throughout the process, and for the reasons that Mr. Majority Floor Leader just articulated, if we insist on publicizing the names of these candidates, we lose what could be the very best fit for the state of Wyoming based on that public input that has already happened.
Chairman Sumlet.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps just a little bit different perspective on this issue. What about the commitment that we ask of these people who apply for this very important job? Are they willing to stake their reputation, their own job, back wherever they came from, to say that this is important enough, that they will do that, and it can be made public, they're committed to it, and they want this job? So against the for the amendment against the bill.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm probably going to vote for this bill. I, as a board chairman, got to help select a community college president, and I think the reason I'm going to vote for this bill is they started a process out saying that it was confidential, and I think that's probably the only reason why I'm going to vote for it. I think that the public venting the transparency at some level, whether it's the last three that are being interviewed for the second or third time, or even maybe when you have eight. But what happens is whatever the institution is, it has to be upfront with the public on how they're going to do the search and follow it through. And I, you know, if the retroactive back to finish this search wasn't on there, I would vote against this bill.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and, I guess, in favor of the amendment and against the bill, but boy, I have to tell you that I've gone back and forth about this probably 50 times. For those of you who don't know, I'm a professor at that university across the way, and I can assure you that my email has lit up enormously about this. And to let you know that faculty and staff are pretty split about it, regardless of perhaps the email that you're getting. And that the issue comes down to, for many people, and I must admit I was fascinated by my good friend from District 52, who is one of the most ardent supporters of transparency. And to listen to her arguments about the process working, and I'll say well enough for her that it is transparent enough. And I listened really closely to that, because that's part of what the argument is about. It's really about transparency and at what level. The model that's being proposed with the bill is the model of hiring a CEO. And that's a model that many people in here are very comfortable with. It's the model of using a headhunter and going out and getting the best and brightest. And I appreciate that as a model, and the model that has given us a depth of 88 candidates. The other model is a collaborative model of thinking about what the job of a university president and the university president in Wyoming. And that's a model of collaboration with faculty and staff. It's a model where there's the expectation that president work closely with faculty and staff, as well as, and as this is what somebody explained to me with urging my no vote, is that we expect that president to be able to stand up to arguments all over the state. And we want someone who can do that, and we know that they can do it now, who is willing to take the stand that, yes, I want this position at the University of Wyoming. I understand what that will mean, and it will mean that I'm not insulated. I am not an insulated CEO, but I'm someone who has to take a stand, and take a stand while being in that process, and to be able to go back and, let's say, that person doesn't get the job, and say, I'm proud that I put my name forward to be president of the University of Wyoming. Right, that's something that I'm proud of. We are, in some ways, with this bill, accepting a process that right now most university presidents are hired in an open way. The trajectory, though, is going in this way, closed searches. We're allowing for participation in this closed search process, and I don't think that it's doing any of us any good. So, ultimately, I'm going to vote against this. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? Second time?
Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the discussion on this. I thought this was a good discussion to have. Just a few points I just wanted to make was there were some comments about that there had already been a public process. I just want to make sure that's been a public process as to what skill sets you wanted to see in the person, not as to who the person is. So I don't see those as the same thing. That's not transparency. It's a nice thing they did, but the university, you know, operating in this secrecy, in the cloak of secrecy, I don't think is a healthy thing for the University of Wyoming. You know, in my county, you know, we went through a process. We had to hire a fire chief. Everyone applied. I mean, we actually had applications from around the nation. One of the major parts of picking him, you know, we had a public process and people got to meet him, and we brought the different candidates in, and people would meet all the candidates, and we had receptions where you could come meet the different candidates, and then the public was able to give input. And the other part that you had to be able to do was contact the former employer and say, does this person do a good job? Is there good things going on? I mean, the way the university is going to go about this in this cloak of secrecy, I assume they'll just be allowed to Google their name or look them up on the Internet, but not actually be allowed to contact their former university because scared that they might divulge that the person's applying. So how do you make a good decision if you can't call the former university and ask them, do they do a good job, and all you can go by is information you find publicly? That seems odd to me. That's not how you go about hiring somebody. The other thing is, and I watch this all the time on sports channels, where a coach or an athletic director is moving from university to university, and you know, and they're interviewing, and that gets debated, and everybody talks about it on the sports show. I don't see why that's any different. It doesn't affect them. Nobody starts to move to fire them at their old job. It's just a fact of life that when you get high up and that you're in hot demand, there's the potential that you're going to lose a coach or you lose an athletic director, or if you have a really good president, you might lose that president to a better deal. Why we need to be in the cloak of secrecy and make sure that nobody knows who any of these people are until the very last second, I think that's setting us up for failure, because whoever it is, none of us will know until the very last minute, and we will have had no impact or no input other than we got to tell them what the skill set was that we liked about a hypothetical person. I'd like to know who the person is, and I'd like to make comment on that. I'd urge you to vote against the bill.
Chairman Gingery, did you want to withdraw your amendment?
And I withdraw my amendment.
House Bill 223, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy. Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Excused. Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings. Hutchings. Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder. Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 18 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 223, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 223 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom I've referred House Bill 225, Transfer of Ownership of Livestock and Brands, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, Dan Zwollinger, and signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 228, Transfer of Federal Lands Study, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Winters, Dan Zwanitzer, two noes, Representatives Blake and Semlich, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 187, Campaign Finance, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, and excused Representative Gay, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 206, Exemption Water Utilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, one no vote, Representative Green, one excused, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, whom was referred House Bill 219, Campaign Finance Reporting, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, one no vote, Reverend Representative Blickery, and signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 204. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 103, electronic cigarettes, ayes 29, noes 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 205. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 110, registration fees and trailers with living quarters, ayes 17, noes 13, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 206. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 121, career and technical training grants, ayes 11, noes 19, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 207. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 143, cruelty to animals, ayes 30, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 208. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 144, Bidder Qualifications and Community Colleges 2, ayes 30, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 209. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 147, Stroke and Heart Attack Treatment Centers, ayes 30, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 210. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 159, threats of bodily injury or death, ayes 30. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 211. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 136, seismic exploration -3, ayes 15, noes 15, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Heard that order of business of committee announcements. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tonight, 10 minutes after adjournment, in H-17. And we will hear House Bill 189, Repeal of Real ID. And committee, remember to bring your substitute bill tonight to the committee meeting. It's a carryover from 122. Also, House Bill 235, Firefighters License Plates. House Bill 232, Highway Speed Limits. House Bill 239, Highway Speed Limits 2, and House Bill 238, Homemade Trailer Titles.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will meet right now in H-8 to take up Senate File 10, Supreme Court Decisions and Session Laws, Senate File 12, Child Support Payment Procedures, Senate File 15, Engrossed Inmate Transfers, and Senate File 14, Correctional Industries.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H-18 to consider the following bills. House Bill 221, State Government Fund Reduction Act Reporting Requirements. House Bill 58, Community Infrastructure Programs Amendments 2. House Bill 217, Atomic Energy Agreement State Study. House Bill 241, State Geologist. And House Bill 140, Environmental Quality Permits Intervention.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock to go over Senate File 33, Search and Rescue Program Donations, Senate File 40, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Revenue Committee number 3 is going to meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock a.m., room 11, and we're going to discuss House Bill 258, Service Stations, Display of Fuel Taxes, House Bill 260, Game and Fish License Fees, and if possible, if time permits, we're going to do Senate File 30, Special Districts.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of recessing until 2 p.m., say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is in recess until 2 p.m.